This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management.
Welcome to Your Valuable Home, the show that's about education for homeowners and residential real estate investors, because educated buyers make smart choices on home purchases and improvements. I'm contractor Kevin Kennedy, host of Your Valuable Home.
Hi, and I'm Ron Milk, producer, co-host, and homeowner advocate. If you're a homeowner or have investment real estate, we've got your back.
You'll learn how to choose a contractor, get and compare estimates, check quality construction, and avoid huge upfront payments. We'll share home improvement trends, projects in the works, and homeowner horror stories.
We interview experts from across the country about everything from new building products, homeowners insurance, leveraging home equity, what's hot in real estate, which products make for an unhealthy home, and more.
Your Value of Home airs Sundays at 6 p.m. thanks to Tom Adams Windows and Carpets, with four locations in Churchville, Southampton and Doylestown, and Whitehall in the Lehigh Valley.
Tom Adams is the friendly, family-owned place known for award-winning installation and customer service and a wide selection of windows, doors, flooring, siding, and much more. Tom Adams has been satisfying customers throughout the region for 64 years. Okay, Kev, what time is it?
Time to start the show.
You got it.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia.
A radio.com station. Now, from the Malamud and Associates Law Studios.
Welcome home to Your Valuable Home with Kevin Kennedy and Ron Milk. Presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. If you own a home, this show's for you.
All right, you're listening to Your Valuable Home here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And Ron, now it's time for the replay.
Yeah. What do we got?
All right, so this is something, it's not different. We've done it before, but it's something a little bit on the terms, because we're going to talk about roofing. But okay. Not just roofing, and where you're doing roofing, we're talking about solar with roofing. What do you do when you're thinking about solar panels?
Putting a roof down and solar at the same time?
Yes. Okay. So we have one of our callers in, Bernie, who's a roofer in the local area, and he's going to talk about what he's seen, some horror stories. He's going to be on the horror story right after this. So, Bernie, thanks for coming on Your Valuable Home and doing this.
Absolutely. How you doing?
I'm good. So now it's your time. Are you ready?
I think so.
All right. So I know we talked about it a few times, getting you on the air to talk about some jobs, and something came up, and you talked about one of the horror stories, but it kind of led into a good replay. It's when people are thinking about solar, and do they need a roof? What are the steps do they need to go through to get this done? So let's talk about a job you recently done.
Sure. Yeah, we did a job recently, I guess a year or so ago, half a year ago. The people had an older shingle that's been discontinued on the house. They had a solar company come in, install solar on top of an older roof. Ended up cracking some of the shingles, tried to repair as they went. Maybe half a year or so went by from that, and they started getting some leaks. Called me to have me go take a look at the roof. Went out, so they had a leak in the front of the house and a leak in the back of the house. They thought it was coming from a dormer that they had sided a few years before that. Turned out that the dormer looked pretty good. There was some piping inside the house that was making the leak travel a bit once it got inside, and ended up being from some of the flashing that was done by the solar company after the shingles were cracked. So we ended up replacing the roof, but they had a big fight on their hands to have the solar company come out, remove all the solar, give us time to install a brand new roof on it, and then come back and reinstall the
solar. Put it back on again. They were giving the couple a hard time on taking off the solar?
Yeah, well, they wanted to fight with it and said basically it wasn't their issue.
Well, I'm sure there's got to be some precautionary measures by the solar company saying, hey, listen, you're getting a solar panel applied to the roof. Your roof's got to be in somewhat of a decent shape, because they're going to be lifetimes. And if your roof's 25 years old, you're not going to get another 25 years old out of a 25-year-old roof.
Right, and that's what normally happens. For some reason, it didn't happen in this case. They went back and forth a bit, ended up agreeing that they would do it at no charge. So they came out, uninstalled it. We put a new roof on it. We used double felt paper, lifetime dimensional shingles. Made sure that all the plywood was solid, because that thing was going back on there, and it, you don't want to have to touch that again down the road.
Correct.
Did all that, and the solar company ended up coming back out, reinstalling the solar. I met with them out there to make sure everything was, you know, tying into the roof properly, and actually ended up doing a really great job on the back end. That's why I kind of like this job, because it all did work out. But if the homeowner would have just had a roofing contractor come take a look at it before the solar was installed, they would have been much better off.
Bernie, let me ask you something. What would be your rule of thumb if somebody was, you ran into somebody again, or you were at a party or something, and somebody said, what do you think I ought to do about, I'm thinking about putting solar on. If the roof is 20 years old, if the shingles and everything are 20 years old, shouldn't you just bite the bullet and put a new roof on? Because, you know, that would be a one and done then if you put the solar over top of it, right?
Yeah, I would say anything over 10 if you're going to put solar on.
Over 10.
Yeah, because by the time you pay the solar off, you know, it's going to be time to take it back off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I'd say anything over 10 years old, I'd really have a very good look at it. As long as, you know, but, you know, anything 20 years old, you're definitely replacing it for solar.
Yeah, when you're thinking about 20 years ago, the technology, I mean, I guess it was getting close around with the ice and weather shield around. But again, when people put ice and weather shield, when roofers are doing it, they still install it wrong. So
yes.
I know Bernie and I talked about this on how it really should be done. And Bernie, I see his pictures on Facebook. He's doing it right, where you're taking the siding off, you're running the ice and weather shield up the walls, then flashing it, then bringing the Tyvek back down. But that's doing it right. So 20 years ago, it was not done that way. So why not get it done right the first time? Because talking about flashing and penetrations on the roof, that's where the leaks are going to be coming in. So let's do it right for the first time, and you'll never need to do it again.
Well, let me ask you this, too. I mean, if I don't know, what is there a lot of weight when you put, like, solar across a whole roof? Is there a lot of weight? Would you have to inspect the plywood, too, to see if it could stand up to that?
Yeah, most of the time they're attaching to the rafters themselves.
To the rafters, okay.
For the weight, yeah. So a lot of the weight's not really sitting on the plywood. But, yeah, I think you get a different snow load and ice and everything else getting trapped underneath the solar.
Yeah.
So I think you have some other issues with that. But, yeah, you want to definitely make sure that the plywood's all good with any roof that you're doing, not just with solar, but absolutely with any roof. Plywood's probably your biggest thing.
So here's a question for you. They're bolting through the roofing tile when they have to mount this down.
Right.
Something to recommend, because when I tell people the ice and weather shield, when you nail through it, it self-seals around there, especially when it gets warm. It's going to be able to melt back around there. Is mm-hmm. that something, Bernie, you would recommend to do, is to ice and weather shield that whole entire plane where that solar is going to be applied?
Yeah. Yes and no. There's different schools of thought with ventilation issues that come from ice and weather shield on the whole roof. But, yeah, they actually marked on this one where solars were going, and we had a little diagram from where it was, and we put small patches underneath the felt.
Oh, so it was on top of that. Yeah, because I'm just thinking in my mind, what if? It's always that what if. And you don't
sure.
want a what if you get a roof and
well,
solar
after
panels.
You get that on there, you want to take care of all the what ifs, because you don't want to have to pull it off again.
Yeah, you want to be done for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Oh, my lifetime. But, yeah, those are the things. That's why I wanted to have you on, just because a lot of people just don't know. And you're right, Ron.
Yeah.
We talked about you know, how many years. Why not get it? You're dealing with a lifetime situation here. You know, getting an old roof.
Yeah, I think Bernie's right. I mean, if I was 10 years into a roof and I was thinking about solar, I'd pull the whole thing and just do it, you know, make sure it's right. Because you don't want to do it again.
And a lot of the companies actually offer that as part of their financing. They finance the solar and then they add a roof into it.
Makes sense.
Or the, you know, cost of a roof. For some reason, it didn't happen on this one.
Makes a lot of sense.
I couldn't see why not. But see, to me, now if I'm a homeowner, I'm thinking that maybe they're trying to push their roofer on me. So, you know, maybe they should just be saying, hey, listen, you know, why don't you contact your roofing company? If you don't have one, we can offer one to you. This way, it doesn't seem like they're pushing
something. Well, you don't know what was said here, you know?
Oh, yeah. But I'm just saying for anything future-wise, though.
Yeah.
If you have a solar company, but they're all saying, hey, by the way, I think you need a new roof. Let me get my company out here. That, to me, would be like, hey, it's a back door and the guy's going to make some money on me.
Right. Yeah.
But if a solar company, what I would feel is that the solar company said, well, listen, I will get your roof inspected. This is going to be a lifetime decision you're going to make, that your roofing is going to be there for quite a long time. Have your roofer come out, inspect the work to make sure the shingles are great, the flashing's great, you're going to have no issues. And if it is old enough, get your roofer to replace it. If you do not have that, I will be able to present one to you, and you can get a price from
that. Yeah, that's the way I would present it if I were.
So it doesn't look like you're pushy.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, thinking it that way. So I know we're going to keep going, talking about further the horror stories, some of the things that you run into, especially with roofs. But when it comes to the solar panels, I'm seeing more and more of them being installed daily. Yeah. Are you running into that being a roofer doing a lot of roofing? You're seeing that, I'm presuming, that you get a lot more roofs that have solar panels, or they're getting solar panels?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That, it's becoming very popular, especially in New Jersey. Right now, New Jersey's, almost every other house, it seems like, has solar, is getting solar.
Is there like a special credit or something like that people in New Jersey get?
Yeah, they get some kind of a credit. I don't know exactly how it works, but they get they get credit points for the energy that they sell back, I believe.
Yeah, nobody really good solar down the shore. Why do they do that down there?
Definitely. Well, down the shore, you got all that sun all the time. It should work. I mean, do solar panels on the roof, if you have the whole roof covered, will that do everything in the house?
It depends, I guess, on how much electric you use, but a lot of it does. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I hear from a lot of people that it covers their bill.
Okay.
They're probably getting credit back.
Yeah.
But again, it depends on the size of the roof and the amount of solar panels that you have on the roof that's going to be able to generate that solar energy back to what you're selling back to the grid.
The way I understand it today, though, I mean, the cost of the panels and the technology make it so that you get payout on it a lot faster than you did years ago when they were really expensive.
Yeah, now the price is coming down. I know, Bernie, you definitely have a horror story for us coming up. So why don't you hang tight? We're going to jump into the horror story. And everybody, you're listening to Your Valuable Home here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
Tom Adams Windows and Carpets Beautify Your Home for the Holiday Sale is going on now. Get free installation on all hard surface vinyl, tile, laminate, and hardwoods. Save on Pergo, Mohawk, Mannington, Revwood Plus, Armstrong, and Cortec flooring. But don't wait. This sale ends November 13th. Visit any Tom Adams Windows and Carpet showrooms or TomAdamsCarpet.com. Free installation on all hard surface vinyl, tile, laminate, and hardwood. Now until November 13th. Beautify your home for the holidays. TomAdamsCarpet.com.
Looking for a home improvement contractor? Look at experience. We've got 30 years under the same name. Very unusual in this business. Look at their strengths. We excel at indoor projects like kitchens and baths, outdoor projects like siding, windows, and doors, even entire additions. We've introduced products for national manufacturers and won awards for our work. Look at who does the work. With VSP, the owner and the foreman of 23 years are always part of the team. Look for fair terms. VSP asks for no more money down than the law allows in this area. Our pricing is never the lowest and usually not the highest. We deliver great value for the money. Looking for a home improvement contractor who will produce what they promise? Look to VSP Home Remodeling. Call Kevin Kennedy at 215-364-3286 or email him at vsphome@verizon.net.
Now back to Your Valuable Home, presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. If you have a question about a home project for our host, Kevin Kennedy, call him directly, 215-364-3286.
And we got to thank our listeners, Kev, for tuning into Your Valuable Home here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yeah, Ron, now it's time for the horror story. We still have Bernie on the air. He's going to talk about horror stories. It's probably not one horror story, but I'm sure everybody's getting a horror story that they come into. And I tell you, between windows and roofing, those are the two most popular horror stories that we get of all time. So why don't we jump into one of the horror stories that you have that was a doozy?
Sure. This one is probably 7 or 8 years ago. We got a call for an estimate. It was either Rosalind area or Willgrove. It was a young couple, small child. They had bought the house maybe 2 years prior. They bought it with a new roof, so they thought. They were starting to see some lines telegraphing through the roof, from the street. They could see it in different sunlights and things like that. A little bit of staining in the attic space from water. Went out, met with them, looked at everything. There was definitely signs of condensation. There was some poor ventilation. There was some bathroom vents vented directly into the attic space. The plywood looked like maybe it was starting to curl at the edges, so we kind of banked on that's what was going on. Signed up the job, got the job, started about 3 weeks later. And the guys were on the job in the morning. I got a call that there were some more shingles underneath the plywood. and then some more plywood under the shingles. So what ended up happening was, I guess to sell the house, someone came in and put a thin veneer of wood on top of old rotted shingles.
No way.
With makes new a lot shingles of sense. On top.
I'd never heard this one before.
Oh, the plywood was installed with roofing nails into old plywood that was rotted.
We can't make this up. We can't do it. I tell you.
I don't know.
I've never heard that one before. 30 years of business, never heard that.
So what? And it was like a mush. It was like a soup in between the two plywoods.
Yeah, the vapor lock in between the two.
What's that?
Yeah, vapor lock in between the two.
Yep, exactly. So we ended up tearing it all off. Down putting new 3/4-inch plywood on it, a new lifetime roofing system on it, and got the pipes from the bathroom ventilated out the way they should be
with a roof jack vent.
And, new attic fan with the humidistat. Mm-hmm. There was no soffit intake. So we ended up going attic fan with that one. And got it all done.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. I never heard of that one. I've never heard of a roofer or anybody doing that. That's not even unheard of.
I mean, if you were a do-it-yourselfer and you had no idea what you were doing, you still wouldn't do that.
Well, maybe you heard about a re-roof. Hey, you re-roof, you just put new plywood and shingles on top.
Oh, my.
Yeah,
it was like 1/4-inch plywood on top of shingles with new and expensive shingles on top, too. So
I don't know what to say on that one.
Maybe you thought the shingles were going to carry the day.
Well, they were looking for that real architectural look, remember the old Presti plush back then where they were so thick to give you that wavy look. Then maybe this was the same. I'm surprised they didn't fall off because even with a 1/4-inch with the roofing nails, you still had to go through the existing roof to get through the plywood.
They were very close to falling off.
Let me ask you this. I mean, in a township, doesn't the township engineer, do they come out and inspect roofs?
So only sometimes. There's only a handful of townships.
Yeah. They give you the drive-by look. Hey, look at that. It's done. That's it.
If that.
And there are shingles on it, too.
Yeah, a lot of townships require one or two things. If they're even inspecting, they're only inspecting certain things. There's a couple that inspect plywood, which is great.
Which is great, yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, not many inspections for roofing.
They don't want to go up there.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about this, I mean, here's one of the biggest complaints that I have. And I was talking to a roofer maybe about 3 weeks ago. And I know you and I talked about this. And I said to the homeowner, and the roofer was standing, I'm like, well, did you offer him the correct way to install ice and weather shears? What are you talking about? And I said, well, that's installed wrong. So what most roofers do is they'll just apply it over top of the roofing membrane of the plywood, but never drop it below the fascia. Now, what happens is that's preventing ice damming from happening where your gutter fills up with ice because it's melting during the day.
I had that happen to me once in a former house, yeah.
So when you look up, if you lift those shingles up, you can see inside the house the plywood from the fascia. There's a gap there. So you're creating ice damming. And once water, ice, has a path, it has a 2,000 PSI, it's going to go straight in. And I've seen, now not last year because we didn't have a lot of rain and snow last year, but the year before, I had 4 jobs I went to in the local area. And they said, well, listen, my roof was done in. I have ice and weather shield. I'm like, yeah, but it wasn't presented properly. So, yeah, I get it to the roofer that it will cost more money to take the gutters down, to take the capping down and run it correctly. But don't you want to do it right the first time so
Absolutely.
You never have this problem?
Absolutely.
So, but a lot of people aren't selling it that way. Look, I get it. It's going to cost more money. But like when I do my roof, I'm going to be doing the addition in about a year. That's the first thing you're going to see on my house. Because when you see on the additions that we do or the siding for doing the whole addition, you'll see the ice and weather shield flapping down there from the roofer. So when I get to it, I'm going to be able to put that mount, that ice and weather shield to the fascia so that I can have that application so that ice and weather shield doesn't stop ice damming. It prevents it from coming in the house.
Exactly.
That's the sole purpose of it. It's not helping out any much more, but it's just that you get that ice up under there and it starts melting. The felt paper, when you blow through those nails, that's what it's leaking through in that heated part.
Apparently mine was not done that way because it happened in my old house and it was my office. And I'm working at my computer and it started raining in my office.
Bernie, I mean, do you see that a lot? The guys throwing it up. Hey, but they were cheap, they tell you. I'm like, yeah, but they're cheaper. It's done wrong. But I get it.
There and up the sidewall is the other spot that it normally isn't being applied.
Or how about this? We did a show where I said, hey, if you guys want to have some fun with your roofer, if you can get up on your roof, being safe, don't take any risk or hire somebody if you're not sure. If you got a new roof, check the flashing. because of the contract says you're going to be replacing the flashing. And how many people were calling the show saying, you wouldn't believe it, I called my roofer, they didn't replace the flashing. And Bernie, wouldn't you think that's the most important part of a roof from leaking is flashing? The flashing area?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's where roofs leak, typically.
Yeah, typically. Yeah. But they, again, they're saving it, so they leave the step flashing in. And when you think about it, because most of the time they're really stretching it because you're putting a metric shingle down, which is a 5 5/8 inch exposure, when you have a standard weight roof that's there. So if you can be able to slide some of the flashing up and down on a re-roof, well, you're going to be losing after 5/8, 5/8, 5, you're going to exceed that 5 inches. And then they have to try to fill in another gap with one.
Mm-hmm.
And almost always the step flashings are nailed, the J-channel's nailed through the step flashing, so you're really not sliding them much once you're in. You know, because they're totally nailed in, so they really can't slide too much. They really got to come off.
Right.
Siding has to come off.
Yep.
Flashings have to come off and do new.
Does that cost you more money to do that?
Sure. Absolutely.
So then would you recommend homeowners to say, and listen, if you're going to be getting a roof, this is something you should be looking for, is to make sure that flashing and the siding, if you can take that siding down to be pulled, ice and weather shit off the wall, new flashing, and then tie it all back together?
Yeah, I mean, that's almost always talked about at an estimate. You know, there's certain circumstances, stucco being one of them.
Right, I get that.
It's very difficult to do anything with. But normally when it's vinyl, we are taking it off and wrapping up the wall.
Just makes sense,
replacing.
Right? Just makes sense, because you're going to have a problem with it on a later date.
You sleep a little better during the rain.
There you go.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's good to hear. And I'd like to get you back on there if you got a couple more of those jobs and horror stories. But thank you for doing this and coming on Your Valuable Home.
Thanks a lot. Good meeting you, Bernie.
It.
All right, Bernie, thanks again. And you're listening to Your Valuable Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
Tom Adams Windows and Carpets Beautify Your Home for the Holiday Sale is going on now. Get free installation on all hard surface vinyl, tile, laminate, and hardwoods. Save on Pergo, Mohawk, Mannington, Revwood Plus, Armstrong, and Cortec flooring. But don't wait. This sale ends November 13th. Visit any Tom Adams Windows and Carpet showrooms or TomAdamsCarpet.com. Free installation on all hard surface vinyl, tile, laminate, and hardwood. Now until November 13th. Beautify your home for the holidays. TomAdamsCarpet.com.
Welcome home. This is Your Valuable Home, presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
I thank our listeners to listen to our show, to Your Valuable Home, here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And Ron, now it's time for the collagen. What do we got going on?
We've got an interesting college today. We're going to be talking about what New Jersey is doing to sort of rein in contractors and keep everything under control in the home improvement business. We've talked a number of times about Your Valuable Home about HICPA. That's the Pennsylvania equivalent of what New Jersey does, okay? And for protecting homeowners from incompetent and unscrupulous home improvement contractors. But now, with our Talk Radio 1210 listeners, and we are very happy to have you, they're throughout New Jersey and Delaware, we want to let them know about those states and what they're doing. And here, with New Jersey's perspective, is Paul Rodriguez. Paul is the New Jersey's Acting Director of Consumer Affairs. Paul, welcome to the show, and I think this is very important stuff for our listeners to hear.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay. Problems caused by home improvement contractors are covered by the New Jersey Consumer Fraud Act. Am I right about that?
That's right. It's the Consumer Fraud Act and also the New Jersey Contractor Registration Act.
Uh-huh. Okay. How long has that been in effect?
So Consumer Fraud Act has been around since the 1960s, I think 1960, and the Contractor Registration Act since about 2005.
2005. Okay.
A lot of states right around that 2005. They
that's about
start
right.
Going
yeah,
into that.
That's
yep.
about right. Okay. Are home improvement contractors required to register with your department and pay a registration fee?
Absolutely. So home improvement contractors have to register with us on an annual basis. Registration fee is about $110. Most importantly, I mean, what we require, we have that registration so that we have contact information. We know who is ultimately responsible. They also have to provide proof of commercial general liability insurance. That we require a minimum coverage of $500,000 per occurrence. And, you know, we also have them certify that they've not been convicted of certain crimes. It's mostly like your violent offenses or, you know, theft and financial-related or fraud-related offenses.
Yeah, Kevin's eyes glued up.
Yeah.
Like 500,000.
A bit more than Pennsylvania's 50,000.
50,000.
For minimum requirements.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a state size difference, but yeah, it does. It protects the homeowner Because, like I said, I tell people, if you have that contractor, you hire them, they burn your house down. They have $50,000.
Well, $500,000 is going to cover a lot of,
it's going to get a little more problems, coverage.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right. Okay. That's very smart.
And it also covers, you know, as you can imagine, depending on where you live in the state, you know, $500,000 in terms of, you know, the cost of your home could be, you know, that could, you know, be a part of that. Now, the other thing that I want to say, you know, you mentioned homeowners. That's a good point in that, you know, the registration is, this is only for people who are doing residential home improvements. This
right.
is not for people that are doing purely commercial work.
Right. Yeah. Right. What's your definition of a home improvement contractor in New Jersey who's doing residential work?
So the most important being that it's residential work,
mm-hmm.
But then, you know, it pretty much takes care of anything inside or outside the home. So you're talking about repairs, renovations, modernizations, you know, anything that's related to demolition. And this could be, you know, your roof, your swimming pool, your sidewalk, your driveway, obviously things like kitchens and basements and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
You know, waterproofing or fixing your floors.
Siding, windows,
yeah, anything
absolutely.
With contracting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, the other thing is if you have a license through one of our boards, so if you are a licensed electrician, if you're a licensed plumber, you don't need to separately register as a home improvement contractor.
Well, there's guys, I don't know how it works in New Jersey. I would imagine it's the same way, but in Pennsylvania, and plumbers and electricians and HVAC people have to be certified.
Well, plumbers do.
Plumbers do.
Most of the townships are,
right?
asking for,
yeah.
like a Philadelphia Carter or their master license. That's going to be hard when you get we're going for a permit.
Yeah, yeah. And so you need to have, so for example, a plumber or an electrician has to have, they have to be licensed as a plumber or electrician, you know, if they're just doing that electrical work or that plumbing work, they don't separately need to be registered. But if they're going to be doing other work, then that's a different story.
Yeah, gotcha. That's not a bad idea because that really controls a lot of the people that want to be plumbers. Hey, you know, I'm going to do your bathroom and I've seen it done before, so I guess I could do plumbing. So that kind of minimizes these.
I watched the YouTube
contract.
Video.
Yeah. I saw it on that TV show, so I guess I can do it. But that's not a bad idea of making that plumber and electric, giving a little bit more, you know, being specific about it and having a little bit more testing so they know what they're getting into.
That's right. And so in New Jersey, we have separate licensing boards for electricians, for plumbers, for HVAC contractors, and those are, you know, it's actually a higher level than home improvement contractor where you just need to register with us, show that you're insured. With those boards, in order to get a license, you have to have a certain minimum level of education. You get approved by the, like, an actual board as well.
Is there a test they got to take separate?
It is. And, yeah, there is a test.
Okay. What about workers' comp? Do they have to have workers' comp?
So all employers have to have workers' comp in New Jersey. You know, Department of Labor is the one that regulates that, and I'll sort of, you know, I'm not as familiar with all the regulations there, but most employers or all employers have to have workers' comp as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Jersey, but I know when we're applying for a permit for the local townships, that's what they're going to ask for. They already know you have the general liability based upon that, but they're going to see the workers' comp.
Workers' comp.
I mean, there's ways around it that people do. They get it notarized and just say, hey, I don't have any employees till the guys show up. But for any of our listeners, you got to understand that having workman's comp's covering you, the homeowner.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
something you should have.
Yeah. Well, question here. What happens? I'm a contractor and I don't want to register. I don't want to register and then something bad happens in one of my jobs. What happens to me?
Paul's going to come see you.
Pay me a visit, yeah.
First of all, don't do that. It is, you know, you're opening yourself up to a lot of liability.
Okay.
So, you know, if the division goes after you, you're subject to fines, you're subject to penalties. Certainly, if there were any consumers that were harmed, we'll try to make them whole. If you're operating without a license, no municipality is going to give you a permit, so you're not going to get a permit from the municipality, so you have potentially extra fines from them. In New Jersey, doing home improvement contracting work without a license is also a fourth degree crime. And, you know, if one of your clients ends up, you know, taking you to court, your contract may be unenforceable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So a lot of bad stuff happened, which is good, which is very good. Now, how do you find out about that? Does somebody report the contractor?
Yeah, I mean, so most of the cases that we see are where something has gone wrong with a consumer. If something's gone wrong with a project, someone's been harmed, they will make a complaint to us. And as we're investigating the complaint, we see, hey, they've never been registered or their registration lapsed, they shouldn't be doing this work to begin with. And I would say that that's the vast majority of the cases that we deal with. Although we do sometimes, if someone will come to our attention who, you know, maybe through an advertising, we realize that, you know, the advertising doesn't have the required registration number that should be on all advertising and should be on all trucks. We have in the past seen vehicles prominently displayed at like a home improvement store, for example, in the parking lot, and we'll see, hey, they don't have their registration number on there. Let's see what's going on.
Okay. Now, if you don't see that, it doesn't mean technically they don't have it. I'm sure that's something you're investigating.
That's correct.
I don't think of any contract that really would go out of the way. Now, I did catch a couple on Facebook because some people do call the show and say, hey, listen, could you check this contract route? I'm not sure how to do it. And I said, well, in Pennsylvania,
you check the Facebook page too, right?
Well, yeah, I hit the Facebook page and just start asking questions. But you can go into, I know with Pennsylvania, you can go into the HCPA and say, hey, listen, you can see when they started, their PA license number, their address. And that's what Paul's talking about, having somebody there, because they want to know where you're at, because they want to be able to go after you if there's a problem.
Sure.
Uh-huh. That's right. And anytime you see an advertisement or even on the contract when you're dealing with a home improvement contractor, if they're registered in New Jersey, you should see that number. It'll start with 13VH. And you can also, if you get that number, you can go on our website where you can give us a call and make sure that that number is actively registered. And you can also look them up to see if we've taken any enforcement actions against them.
Okay. On average, how many consumer complaints do you get a year about home improvement contractors? And that's one question. And then B to that would be, is there any regionality to that?
So in terms of, you know, raw numbers, definitely over 1,000 we get a year. We get well over 1,000 complaints a year. It's consistently our number one complaint that we receive here at the division is home improvement contractors.
How about that? Huh?
Makes me feel warm and fuzzy.
In terms of regionality, I would think that it depends. It's, you know, I don't have science behind this, but I think it mostly depends on just where you have the largest number of people is where you see just where the homes are clustered or where you're going to get more complaints.
Cities, southern New Jersey, Cherry Hill, places like that, high density populations.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about, you know, complaints against home improvement contractors being the number one complaint that comes in, as you can imagine, we get complaints from every New Jersey county.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of counties.
A lot of counties.
It's a lot of people getting.
Well, it probably thins out as you get out towards like places like Dover and places like that, right? When you get way out in New Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, wherever you're going to have a smaller population.
Thinly populated, yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And is that number increasing or decreasing as we click through the years here?
No, it's actually been very consistent over the years.
Okay. So that's good. That means the laws are working.
I hope so.
Well, yeah, it should be decreasing if the laws are really working. Yeah,
well,
I mean,
population's going up as well.
Well, people are also getting educated. I mean, that's one thing we're doing at the show is try to educate the people so they can minimize the risk of having these problems.
Right.
Well, that's absolutely true, and we hope that's working. But when you stop and think about it, New Jersey is one of the most densely populated states in the country, correct? Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. But 1,000 cases in a densely populated state is not horrendous, no.
And I'll say, I mean, you know, people bring complaints to us. People will also file cases in court. We have in New Jersey, people should know there are local and municipal consumer affairs offices, and people should feel comfortable reaching out to them as well. They work very closely with us. And so if your county or if your town has a consumer affairs office, that's also a good place to go and make a complaint.
Does every county have one?
Every county does not, but most counties do.
Do, okay. Okay, so if I'm in a neighboring county that doesn't have one, can I go to the county that does have one or no?
No, I think those complaints will come to us.
Yeah, they're going right
okay,
to the big
you
boys.
Got, okay, all right, I got you. Okay. When you get a complaint, is it normally about shoddy work or about, it could go either way, or about outright fraud and deception?
You know, it really runs the gamut. I mean, we have, when you talk about outright fraud and deception, of course we have those cases where someone, you know, takes your money and runs, and they're nowhere to be found. And those are obviously the easiest to prove in one sense because you're not complaining about the quality of the work. But those are, you know, those are terrible. Those are, can also be, you know, potentially criminal. That's just bad.
Yeah, because you're not getting the money. That's a big thing. Yeah. So, Paul, we're going to take a little break here.
Of course.
And we're going to talk a little bit further about the bad contractors and what we can do to protect ourselves living in New Jersey. So, Paul, hang on, and you're listening to Your Valuable Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
Tom Adams Windows and Carpets Beautify Your Home for the Holiday Sale is going on now. Get free installation on all hard surface vinyl, tile, laminate, and hardwoods. Save on Pergo, Mohawk, Mannington, Revwood Plus, Armstrong, and Cortec flooring. But don't wait. This sale ends November 13th. Visit any Tom Adams Windows and Carpet showrooms or TomAdamsCarpet.com. Free installation on all hard surface vinyl, tile, laminate, and hardwood. Now until November 13th. Beautify your home for the holidays. TomAdamsCarpet.com.
Looking for a home improvement contractor? Look at experience. We've got 30 years under the same name. Very unusual in this business. Look at their strengths. We excel at indoor projects like kitchens and baths, outdoor projects like siding, windows, and doors, even entire additions. We've introduced products for national manufacturers and won awards for our work. Look at who does the work. With VSP, the owner and the foreman of 23 years are always part of the team. Look for fair terms. VSP asks for no more money down than the law allows in this area. Our pricing is never the lowest and usually not the highest. We deliver great value for the money. Looking for a home improvement contractor who will produce what they promise? Look to VSP Home Remodeling. Call Kevin Kennedy at 215-364-3286 or email him at vsphome@verizon.net.
If you're starting a home project, let Your Valuable Home help you avoid the pitfalls of a bad decision. Now back to Ron Milk and contractor Kevin Kennedy.
And you're listening to Your Valuable Home here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And thank you for listening. Thank you. We are here with Paul Rodriguez, who's the acting director of consumer affairs in New Jersey, talking about how they keep the home improvement industry under control in their state. Paul, welcome back.
Thank you.
And let's see, where were we? Can homeowners call you to learn if complaints have been filed against a specific contractor?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can call us. The number is 973-504-6200. That number, you can call, find out if complaints have been filed, and if we've actually taken action against someone. And you should keep in mind, if just because someone has filed a complaint doesn't mean that we found them to be liable. But if we've taken action against somebody, you know, any orders we have will be up on our website.
Yeah, I guess anybody can put an action against it, but with you doing your homework,
right,
to make sure there's no action against them, that's where it really comes into play. Because a lot of people are touchy today. Even being a contractor, I do hear from people like they're a little bit over-demanding. And then they're going to jump right into the gun and say, hey, look, this is a shoddy job. And
in reality, it really isn't. Yeah, no, I can understand that'll happen, yeah. But do you prosecute, right? Your office prosecutes or...
Not criminally, but we do bring civil actions against contractors.
Civil actions. Okay. So if somebody had a civil action or a criminal action brought against them someplace else in New Jersey by a municipality, do you guys track all that stuff?
We don't on our website. So, and we may not even know about it. So if an individual consumer files a complaint, you know, it goes to court and wins a judgment against a contractor, we may never be informed. If it's a question of where, you know, one of our county offices brought a case, then we might have more information.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, just trying to track them. What about another state? Somebody's in another state. They have a license both in Jersey and Pennsylvania. They had a little issues over in Pennsylvania, and they're now in Jersey doing the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, if they're coming from another state, in order to be registered with us, we would ask, try to get information about where they've worked before, and if there were questions that were raised, that might come up. But that doesn't mean, for example, that you shouldn't, if you know they were coming from another state, that you shouldn't check with that state as well. And certainly, as we have issues, we work very closely with, you know, our office is within the Attorney General's office. We will work with other Attorney General's offices and let them know if we've been having issues here.
In other states?
That's right.
Yeah, we've heard that before. We've heard that with...
Yeah, jumping around.
With Mark Ferber. He's the
DA
in Bucks County, and they cooperate interstate as well. And I think that's a good idea, very good idea. Because, I mean, you can have somebody in the southern part of New Jersey coming up from Delaware, right?
That's right.
Or people coming over from Pennsylvania, from Philadelphia into the Cherry Hill area or whatever.
That's right.
Okay.
And just because they're coming in from another state doesn't mean they don't have to be registered here separately.
Correct.
Well.
Yeah, got that. Yeah. If somebody calls, they call about complaints, call your office, what other steps do you suggest that a homeowner take to validate a contractor?
I mean, first of all, make sure that they have that registration number. Again, it starts with 13VH. It should be on their truck. It should be on their contracts. It should be on their business card. That number you can then use to call us and make sure that, you know, you can find out whether they have complaints. You can go on our website and make sure that, you know, that number is actually still valid, that it has not, for whatever reason, we have not
still updated.
Exactly. You can, if they are required to give you a copy of their liability insurance, you can always call the company and make sure that that number is still active. And, you know, most importantly, there's a lot of things that you should do, just general good practices. I mean, we recommend that everyone get at least 3 written estimates from, you know, 3 contractors. Never, we always tell people, don't pay for a full job up front. The law actually prohibits the contractor from demanding payment, a full payment up front. You know, as a general rule of thumb, we have found it's sort of a red flag if they're asking for, you know, more than a third of the money up front.
Is there any special requirements? Like, what's the maximum you can take? So if somebody's coming and say, listen, I need 50% down, is that exceeding your limits in Jersey?
It's not exceeding our limits, but it would certainly be a red flag, and they could not ask for 100%.
Yeah, so right. Now the way in Pennsylvania, it's a third, but here's what people are doing to get around that. They're putting 25% down, 50% on the start date. So they have 75% of your money the day they start, and they haven't done any work.
And 0% of the job has been done.
Correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. And certainly a lot of the cases that come to us and a lot of the complaints that people have are when they're making payments and being, you know, demanded to make payments when work has not been done. And that's, you always want to make sure if they're asking for more money, make sure that the money that you paid them actually went to complete that job and did not go, you know, they did not use it to pay for another job.
I've never seen that before. I think it's a common practice from these shoddy contractors.
The other thing, I'm not sure how it works in Pennsylvania. In New Jersey, after you have a signed contract, you actually have 3 days to cancel.
Rescission period.
If you change your mind, you know, you can still call, and we ask that you write a certified letter so you have proof of it, and then you can cancel that. And also, the other thing is, as you're making payments, since we're talking about that, always make. You need a receipt, because if there's problems down the road and you're trying to get that money back, you're going to have to show proof of payment.
Would a canceled check be helpful?
Canceled check, absolutely.
Canceled check. Yeah. Well, yeah, we keep cautioning people about never pay cash. Pay cash. There's no.
We had a couple of those. Yeah, they paid cash. You're absolutely right.
That's a recipe for disaster. So,
absolutely.
A written estimate is required. If so, what has to appear? What else has to appear in the estimate?
You know, actually, in New Jersey, we need a written contract. So we don't need the estimate itself. You don't have to have an estimate. We highly recommend that people do get estimates, and again, at least 3. But on the contract itself, you need a contract if the job is over $500. The contract, again, is going to have their registration number, their insurance number. In New Jersey, you actually have to have our number. Also, the Division of Consumer Affairs phone number has to be on every contract.
Uh-huh.
And it's also, you're going to have things like your stop and start dates, a signature of both you and the contractor, and then a notification that they can cancel within 3 days, and most importantly, just a detailed description of what the work is, so that if there's ever a dispute about it, you can actually point to the contract and say, here's what we agreed to.
What about add-ons? Somebody wants to add some things onto the job. How specific are you with that?
You know, we don't have, as you can imagine, this is sometimes where there's the most conflict between a contractor and a homeowner, especially after something goes wrong. What we would recommend, as much as you can get in writing, obviously, if you have a written change order or a change to the contract, that is best. But anything that shows exactly what you're agreeing to change, you're going to want that in writing.
Absolutely. So good
advice. A change
order
of some sort. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Okay. What are some other warning signs that a home improvement job is going south?
I mean, you know, being squirrely about, you know, giving you anything in writing is always a big red flag. If they don't want to give you a contract, we mentioned before about asking for, you know, big lump sums in advance, not wanting to give you receipts, or, you know, trying to get all of the money for a project that hasn't been finished. But the biggest issues that we see are just difficulty contacting the person. If someone is not working on the job, if there's delays that are unexplained, start trying to deal with them right away, because those things can go on for a long time. And if you're not able to contact the contractor for reasonable amount of time, that's also a big red flag.
Okay, we got to run. And we thank our listeners for tuning in today and listening to. We've just been talking with Paul Rodriguez, New Jersey Acting Director of Consumer Affairs, about how New Jersey controls home improvements.
Paul, we're going to have you back on because I got a lot more questions for hours.
I'm sure
we could talk about it. But thanks again for coming on Your
Thanks
Valuable
a lot,
Home
Paul.
And our listeners for
I'd love
to
that.
The segment.
Thank you.
Tune in again next week.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Your Valuable Home, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Kraus at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.